This is Jordan Sekulow in Washington, D.C. Hamas has fired over 130 rockets into Israel in just the last 24 hours. The IDF has launched Operation Protective Edge. We'll have live updates from our office in Jerusalem.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
In our society, the society of Israel, there is no place for such murderers. And that's the difference between us and our neighbors. They consider murderers to be heroes. They name public squares after them. We don't. We condemn them and we put them on trial and we'll put them in prison. We do not differentiate between the terrorists, and we will respond to all of them, wherever they come from, with a firm hand. We will not allow extremists from wherever they come to ignite the region and shed more blood.
Any update into the investigation of the three young Israeli men who were found dead earlier this week?
Unfortunately, not. We hope that the Palestinians will treat that crime with the seriousness that my prime minister treated this crime of the Arab boy, this heinous crime where he was killed. If the Palestinian leadership would treat it in the same way, then maybe we could get faster to a good outcome of this investigation. Unfortunately, half of the Palestinian leadership is run by Hamas, which is a terror organization openly committed to our destruction. They have fired thousands of rockets at our cities.
I understand that maybe it's a technicality that Hamas doesn't play a part in this government, but it is a unity government that includes Hamas. And I'm just wondering, now, does President Abbas, more so than ever, bear responsibility for the actions of Hamas?
No, but we have, President Abbas himself has suggested that there would be serious consequences for whatever party carried out the crimes that we've been talking about over the last several weeks.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We talked about it yesterday on the broadcast that we'd focus more today on Israel. What we didn't know then was the escalation of the conflict. We talked about the potential of an escalation because of Hamas's the uptick in rocket fire, the instability following the murder of three Israeli teenagers and the American and then the Palestinian teenager who was killed, and then even an American involved in a situation caught on video, and obviously tensions high, but now things have progressed into a conflict and the potential of ground troops from Israel entering into the Gaza Strip. This follows after over 130 rockets being fired into Israel from the Gaza Strip since last night. So in just the last 24 hours, we're going to have a live update coming up in the next segment of the broadcast with David Benjamin from our office in Jerusalem, ACLJ Jerusalem, on what is happening as Israel under rocket attacks, the IDF responding, the potential of ground forces. This is a major development, a time to stand for Israel. Remember, this follows the United States government trying to make a deal with the Palestinian Unity government and being in denial about whether or not that means that we'd be funding Hamas while they launch these rocket attacks. Now a conflict has begun, a real conflict. Will it escalate to the next step, to ground troops? We'll talk about it today on Jay Sekulow Live, and you can ask us questions too. 1-800-684-3110 is our number. That's 1-800-684-3110. So we're going to be joined live from Israel with a Lieutenant Colonel in the IDF and Senior Counsel with ACLJ Jerusalem, David Benjamin. He'll be joining us. David French, Senior Counsel with the ACLJ, also a Captain in the U.S. Army Reserves, will be joining us as well in the broadcast. And we want to take your phone calls also. 1-800-684-3110. Israel responding. It's called Operation Protective Edge. It may involve the next step, not just air assault, but also ground troops. A time to stand with Israel and to stand up against these terrorists and jihadists. Call now if you agree, 877-989-2255 is the toll-free number you call. That's 877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org or call now, 877-989-2255. A new conflict beginning in Israel. We'll get all the details coming up with a live report from our office in Jerusalem.
Around the globe, especially in the Middle East, the persecution of Christians continues to grow at an alarming rate. With each day, there are new reports of Christians being murdered, even crucified, by radical Islamic terrorists simply because of their Christian faith. At the ACLJ, we're engaged in this vital issue, working to free American pastor Saeed Abedini, imprisoned nearly 2 years in Iran because of his Christian faith. And in the Sudan, Miriam Ibrahim and her American family, her husband and two young kids, prohibited from leaving that country to return to the United States. We must do all we can to bring an end to this global persecution of Christians, especially in the Middle East. That's why we're launching a new campaign, calling on the Obama administration to take all diplomatic efforts to protect Christians from this wave of persecutions. Add your name now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top two in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
In the last 24 hours, folks, Hamas has fired over 130 rockets at Israeli civilians, into towns, into cities. Some transport has been closed in Israel. And there has been a new operation launched by the IDF yesterday evening, our time here in the United States. It's called Operation Protective Edge. We're going to go right to our office in Jerusalem, ACLJ Jerusalem, our senior counsel, David Benjamin, who is also a lieutenant colonel with the IDF. And David, give everyone an update on what is happening in Israel and what you're hearing about the even potential of ground forces going into the Gaza Strip.
Good evening, Jordan. Well, we've just heard not so long ago that the government has authorized the call-up of about 40,000 soldiers, reserve soldiers. That pretty much means that Israel is gearing up for a ground offensive in Gaza. It doesn't necessarily mean that the green light has been given, but certainly all the preparations are now thoroughly underway for that. As you correctly said, the missiles have been continuing several hundred, you know, about 250 or so since in the last couple of weeks. And the fact is that over a million Israelis are actually living in bomb shelters at the moment. Fortunately, we have the Iron Dome system in place, of course, which is intercepting missiles. People, you know, there are alarms that go off which send people to bomb shelters. So, of course, we're very, very, you know, careful about protecting our population. But the fact is, like, you know, a third of the country is basically paralyzed.
And this really terrorizes families, David. I mean, this is, you know, the alarms go off. Yes, there's the Iron Dome system, but it's terrorism in the truest sense of the term.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I can give you the example of my own family, my own children. Now, fortunately for us, we don't live inside the 25-mile zone, which is basically where the missiles are being fired at the moment. There is still potential that Hamas will fire beyond that zone, but they're holding back for the moment, you know, probably for the next stage of escalation. The point is, though, like my kids are really frightened. And, of course, we had to prepare a special area, you know, especially, you know, we have every house in Israel has a fortified room for these bomb attacks. And the kids have been preparing a room, and they're glued to the TV. They're not going out to play with their friends as they would normally do in their summer holiday. You know, there's a lot of anxiety, and they're all sleeping together in the same room because they don't want to be alone. And I'm talking about a family which is outside the rock. We're not under fire at the moment. Yeah. So can you just multiply that several times over for people who are actually experiencing that, actually under fire? It's pretty bad. It's pretty terrifying. Yeah.
Folks, we're talking to David Benjamin, a lieutenant colonel with the IDF, also senior counsel with ACLJ Jerusalem. He is giving us a live update from what's happening on the ground in Israel, the new Operation Protective Edge against Hamas in the Gaza Strip after, as you heard David say, you've got hundreds of rockets being fired in just the last couple of weeks by Hamas. And I want to go to David French, who's also a senior counsel with us at the ACLJ here in the United States and a captain in the U.S. Army Reserves, because, David, I know you had some questions as well.
Yeah, David, one of the things that we're hearing from our State Department, and many Americans would be shocked to know that we're sending $500 million a year to this new Palestinian unity government that includes Hamas. The State Department is telling the American people that Hamas isn't really part of the government, even though it rushed to recognize this quote-unquote unity government. Could you describe for people what this unity government means?
Well, it's pretty clear to me that what Hamas is trying to do is to emulate Hezbollah in Lebanon, where you have this really strange, really untenable situation. In fact, it's a completely illogical situation where you have a large military organization, a large terrorist organization like Hezbollah in Lebanon with its own significant military force, which actually has representatives in the government, but it still has it carries out its own agenda, you know, disregarding what the rest of the government happens to think. And I think Hamas is aiming for the same model. As I say, in logic, it can't actually exist, but in practice, it does. I think Hamas is aiming for the same thing. It surprises me to no end that the Palestinian Authority doesn't realize that it's looking a Trojan horse in the face, and it's just a matter of time before, you know, Hamas will do everything to try and bring the Palestinian Authority down, as it did in Gaza. You know, it's very, very clear to everyone. And interestingly, I mean, I've had people from the Palestinian Authority say this to me, which mystifies me all the more why they've joined Hamas, because they know that Hamas is actually trying to take over the West Bank in the same way that it took over Gaza. And, of course, Hamas is on the ropes at the moment, politically speaking. It lost its main ally, which was the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. And it's pretty much a low point. Its economy is really bad. There's tensions now with the Palestinian Authority as well, you know, since the kidnapping episode, etc. And it's actually quite mystifying why Hamas is firing missiles and actually sort of goading Israel into responding. It seems to be perhaps that they kind of feel they have nothing to lose, and perhaps, you know, after a crisis, maybe the end result will be better for them. Of course, it's also in their DNA. that's what their raison d'etre is, you know, whether it makes sense or not, is to attack Israel with the object of eventually driving us out of here, whether that's a really realistic object or not. Pretty crazy part of the world. I should say that there are analysts who are pointing to certain demands that Hamas is making behind the scenes. One is of the Egyptians, that the Egyptians open the Rafah crossing, which is the border between Gaza and Egypt, because the Egyptians have closed it off. Of course, you know, when the Muslim Brotherhood were kicked out, then you know, Egypt, the relationship between Egypt and Hamas has soured quite considerably, and Egypt closed the border. That's the one thing. The other thing is that Hamas, they claim to be owed many millions of dollars by the Palestinian Authority, the Fatah faction of the Palestinian Authority, which are supposed to pay salaries of Hamas workers in Gaza. They say they're owed that money. And another aspect is that Israel has arrested many people who were released under the deal to get Gilad Shalit, the Israeli soldier released a couple of years ago. And they want Israel to release those people again, even though these are people who have sort of gone back to what we call in legal terms recidivists, people who've gone back to their old ways. Those are the demands Hamas is placing. So interestingly enough, most of those demands actually don't even relate to Israel. They relate to Egypt and to its internal relationship with the Palestinian Authority. But Israel, of course, is paying the price in the missile fire that's coming down.
So Hamas is fighting for its own life, even as it's with Egypt, and fighting for its own life with the Palestinian Authority and Fatah, even as it's launching rockets at Israel civilians.
Well, it's kind of ironic, because in so-called fighting for its life, it's actually endangering its life. It's kind of bringing on more, you know, Israeli attacks. Perhaps I assume that Hamas's the math that they're doing is something like this. You know, their win-win tactic has been proven over and over again, of course, is human shielding. You know, all the missiles that are coming out of Gaza, or 95% of them, are coming out from civilian areas. That means if Israel actually has to respond to the sources of the missile fire, we'll be dealing with massive civilian casualties. Now, Israel, as you can see from the statistics, Israel has held back so far. But if Israel is eventually going to go after real value targets, high value targets in Gaza, you know, the civilian casualty statistics are going to climb very rapidly. And that, of course, will serve Hamas' interests. It will unite Palestinians against Israel. It will bring allies on board that at the moment are actually quite cold, are giving Hamas the cold shoulder. So I think that they might have that tactic in mind, you know, to sort of goad Israel into responding in such a way where, and frankly, you know, there's a limit as to how much Israel can do in Gaza without actually attacking areas where civilians are present and thereby bringing about what Hamas wants. So it's a very, very difficult conundrum for us.
David, let me ask you a final question. We're joined by David Benjamin, who is a lieutenant colonel in the IDF, also as ACLJ Jerusalem senior counsel. And if you want to stand with Israel, folks, call now 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. And David, I know it's always tough to predict, but as you talked about in the beginning of the broadcast, when you came on this troop call-up, potential 40,000 have been authorized. What do you think the likelihood is of some kind of ground forces going into the Gaza Strip at this point?
You know, I think it depends on Hamas. Israel has made it clear that if Hamas stops firing missiles, then Israel will pull back. I don't think Israel has any particular appetite for a large operation in Gaza right now. We have much bigger problems on our plate, notably the issue of Iran, the negotiations over the Iran nuclear deal. You know, what's going on around us really, really just off outside our borders, in Syria, Iraq, you know, the threat now emanating from Iraq towards Jordan, which, of course, could affect Israel as well. You know, all over the Middle East, you have this turmoil and potential threats from all sorts of quarters. So Israel actually has bigger strategic problems than Hamas to deal with. So I probably would prefer not to get into a major operation right now. But it could be that Hamas draws us into that operation, whether we like it or not.
Right. Well, folks, we will continue to keep you updated. David, thank you so much for coming on the broadcast and giving us this live update from Israel. We will continue, folks, again, to keep you updated on Operation Protective Edge, always hoping and praying for the best outcome, a quick outcome that doesn't involve ground troops and doesn't put more Israelis in harm's way. But as David said, you've got to respond, and if Hamas keeps firing these rockets, well, you got to stop the rockets at a certain point. If you want to stand with Israel and stand, you know, and give our administration the idea here, folks, you don't make deals with Hamas. And that's exactly what they're trying to do, sending over aid which can benefit Hamas. Call now, 877-989-2255. That's our toll-free number, 877-989-2255. We're taking your phone calls. We come back from the break, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, that's 1-800-684-3110. And stand with Israel. Call now, 877-989-2255. 989-2255. That's 877-989-2255.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Around the globe, especially in the Middle East, the persecution of Christians continues to grow at an alarming rate. With each day, there are new reports of Christians being murdered, even crucified, by radical Islamic terrorists simply because of their Christian faith. At the ACLJ, we're engaged in this vital issue, working to free American pastor Saeed Abedini, imprisoned nearly 2 years in Iran because of his Christian faith. And in the Sudan, Miriam Ibrahim and her American family, her husband and two young kids, prohibited from leaving that country to return to the United States. We must do all we can to bring an end to this global persecution of Christians, especially in the Middle East. That's why we're launching a new campaign, calling on the Obama administration to take all diplomatic efforts to protect Christians from this wave of persecutions. Add your name now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow. We're going to be taking your phone calls now, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We just got a live report from David Benjamin, Lieutenant Colonel with the IDF, and also a senior counsel with the ACLJ Jerusalem. I'm joined right now by David French, senior counsel with ACLJ, a captain in the U.S. Army Reserve. Many of you have been hanging on the line, and we want to get to your phone calls now. Let's go to Cheryl in Georgia, who's been hanging on line too. Cheryl, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air. Hey, Cheryl, are you there? All right, folks, we will try to get back to Cheryl. If you're hanging on the line, make sure to turn your radio down so you make sure you can hear us when we go to your phone call. Let's go to Irene in New York on line one. Irene, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jordan. This is the first time with David Benjamin that I heard someone say, if the rockets stop, we'll stop attacking. It's always No one says that. Mark Regev, anybody, they've from Israel. It's always portrayed as Israel attacks Gaza, and then the rockets come. The PR problem with Israel is tremendous, and it can't just be Ron Dermer going on every show, the ambassador. They've got to say, this is common sense. If Hamas stops the rockets, we don't attack. They're
well,
the
that's
that
right. Start. I mean, Irene, you're absolutely right. I was there, actually landed in an airplane when Operation Cast Lead began, and that was in 2009, this conflict with Hamas. Hopefully this does not escalate to that level, but I was in Israel the whole time that was going on, and literally we landed and it was flashing up on the news screens while we were going through immigration. And again, folks, that was because, as Irene pointed out and David Benjamin pointed out, Hamas. It was not because Israel wanted to pick a fight. As he said, they got bigger problems in the Middle East than Hamas, who's having enough trouble on their own being isolated once again because there's no Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. Of course, they're trying to get some support from the United States government. We've got a president and administration that is even open and willing to that idea. But the truth is that there would not be a conflict. There would be no potential of ground troops going into the Gaza Strip. There would be no airstrikes on Gaza right now if these rockets stopped. But after 130 rockets come in 24 hours, any major country, any country who cares about its citizens, is going to fight back. And that's what Israel's doing now. And if you stop throwing rocks, if you stop throwing the rockets, if you stop launching the mortars and you stop targeting civilians and you stop targeting towns, then Israel's not going to send in ground troops. They don't want to risk the lives of IDF soldiers because of these terrorists in the Gaza Strip and, you know, a potentially prolonged conflict. Because you know what happens? Groups like Hezbollah in Lebanon, they say, okay, maybe, you know, we're on the border. Maybe Israel's distracted with Hamas so we can do something. You've got the Islamic State now that's operating in Iraq and Syria right on the border again with Israel, the potential there for a threat. They've got bigger problems. I think that was a great statement by David Benjamin. There are bigger problems that Israel's got to deal with in the Middle East, but they're not going to let Hamas continue to shoot these rockets at their citizens. And you can't blame it on the fact that some Israeli somewhere did something wrong. If you operated by this kind of foreign policy, then the Palestinians, when they've killed three Israeli teens, that should have started a major conflict right there. But did it? No. And now you've got one Palestinian teenager also, and these are all wrong, it's all bad, but you don't start wars over that, except for when you're operating with this wrong and mentality of jihad and terror. So we'll take your phone calls. If you want to stand with Israel, call now, toll-free number 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Miguel calling in from California on line four with a different view. Miguel, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Hey, Miguel, you're on the air. Okay, doesn't look like he's there either. May have some trouble with our phones. Let's try another phone call. We will check now. Let's go to Mary Ellen, Illinois, on line three. Mary Ellen, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Well, good morning, Jordan. I just would appreciate if you could explain, because I'm not sure of all these different groups like IDF, Hezbollah, Hamas, Fatah.
That's like, IDF is the Israeli Defense Forces, so that's their military. So that's Israel's military. Hezbollah is a Shia group that gets funded from Iran that primarily operates in Lebanon, now Syria, because they are allied with the President Assad in Syria. So that's Hezbollah. And they've been in the past more opposed to Hamas, though that has changed in recent years. Hamas is a Sunni group, and it's an acronym that actually stands for, through Arabic, Islamic Resistance Movement. And they are operating in the Gaza Strip. And you've got the Palestinian Authority. They have control over the West Bank. Now, if you don't have a notepad or you're listening in a car right now, it can be a little complicated. But here's the basics of it. Terrorists launch rockets into Israel. Then they go and complain on TV when Israel responds. And what we're saying right now is that Israel has a right to defend itself. Israel has a right to stop these attacks. And when these attacks stop, Israel has a history of also stopping their defense mechanism, stopping the airstrikes, and potentially not having to have these ground troops go in. Call, again, 877-989-2255 if you stand with Israel. Let's go to Miguel in California.
Hey, I'm sorry. Hey, Jay, how are you guys?
Hey, you're on the air, Miguel.
Hello?
Yep, you're on
the
air.
Hey, listen, I truly believe that, you know, and I've always been a staunch supporter of Israel, but it's starting to waver. I think the response is so disproportionate. And if there are rockets, you said there was 100 and some rockets, has there been anybody killed? And if
no, there hasn't been anyone killed yet. I mean, is that what it takes, though? I mean, they have defense mechanisms, so they've got an ability to take out these rockets if they know that they're heading towards a town. But at what point do you have to say, I think it gets to a point. I think 150 in 24 hours is a lot different than a couple, where the alarms don't stop going off, the children are under rocket fire. And, Miguel, this is what happens when people who have this terrorist ideology, I mean, this is what they want. Let's make no mistake about it. They want their people killed in the streets. That's Hamas I'm talking about. They want to show the airstrikes on Al Jazeera from the Israelis. But at a point, not because the Israelis want to, but because they have to defend their own citizens. And I think that that's the key, is that you cannot allow this kind of activity. And I'll go to David French, because, David, listen, I can see where Miguel's coming from, because if you watch the news, and especially international news, this is the message in the media.
Oh, that's right. The message in the media is well, as long as Israeli civilians aren't being killed, well, Israel should not respond. You've got hundreds of thousands of people living their lives in bomb shelters. You have a terrorist entity sending rockets flying over the border. This is something we would never tolerate in the United States. And what does Israel do? Very targeted airstrikes designed to minimize civilian casualties to stop the rockets. And they would stop their attacks the instant the rockets stop. I mean, this is not hard stuff here. And the idea that Israel doesn't have a right to defend itself would be unprecedented in international law, yet that's the standard people consistently put on them.
Folks, we will continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. My dad will be joining us in the second half hour of the broadcast. You can listen on SiriusXM or ACLJ.org. And let me encourage you to call now to stand up against these terrorist jihadists operating now. I mean, you know, the persecution issue, the issue involving Israel, these rockets, this ongoing now new conflict, the potential Operation Protective Edge being launched by the IDF. We need your support. Israel needs your support. The persecuted church needs your support, all operating against these jihadist entities who want to see them wiped out, whether it's the Christians, whether it's the Israelis in the Middle East. Call 877-989-2255 or visit aclj.org.
We must do all we can to bring an end to this global persecution of Christians, especially in the Middle East. That's why we're launching a new campaign, calling on the Obama administration to take all diplomatic efforts to protect Christians from this wave of persecutions. Add your name now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. We're going to take your phone calls now. This new Operation Protective Edge launched by the IDF against Hamas in the Gaza Strip after, literally in the last 24 hours, over 130 rockets. In July, previously to before that, there were 167. And so that's just in the last week. So you start adding these numbers up. You look at June, a total of 51. So a real uptick in rocket fire from the Gaza Strip. You haven't seen numbers anywhere like what's happened the last week in years. So you've got just in July now probably somewhere around over 250 rockets that have been fired from Hamas in the Gaza Strip into Israel, trying to target towns and villages, families and civilians, primarily, you know, the non-military targets. Israel's done a good job defending its citizens, but now they feel like they've got to respond not just in a defensive mechanism, but take more proactive a stance against Hamas. Let's go right to your phone calls. A lot of calls coming in now. Ed in New York on line three. Ed, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi. I'm listening to Jordan on the radio here, and the situation with Israel and Hamas, this is a repeat performance of their previous acts. Yep. These threatening acts, this fellow Miguel who called in and said his support is waning because of Israel's response to these rocket attacks, that's really foolish of him to even consider that. We have a decree from God himself, you know, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and they shall prosper who love thee, you know. And Israel is trying to protect themselves just as I would try to protect myself against my neighbors. They were shooting high-velocity fireworks off two doors down. Now, suppose that one of those had hit me, all right? I mean, for 4 hours straight, they did that. And if they hit me, I'd have to take them to court. I'd have to have them arrested. All right? I know that those rockets coming into Israel, that's a threat of murder. Over here in the United States,
Ed, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, everything you're saying is correct. The issue is that what Miguel is reporting, why we have to do the shows that we're doing now, why you have to continue speaking out and to speak the truth, is that the media doesn't report it that way. They report these, you know, oh, it's a few rockets. Now, they don't talk about the effect this has. The IDF has to put that video out to show you what it's like to be in a swimming pool at a local community, or show you what it's like to be on a train when these alarms go off. I've been there when that happens, and it's not business as usual, and oh, the Iron Dome will take care of it, no problem. Yes, the Iron Dome is there, but you've got live rocket fire firing at villages, and so you don't take anything lightly. Let me take Bob's call in Texas on line five, because I want to ask David French about this. Bob, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, Jordan. Hey, I know it's probably a wish that's too great, but you know, we used to be a prideful nation that didn't fund terrorism. I guess what really we need to do is to make a list of major countries that do and include ourselves in it, and let the American people know that, hey, we're among those nations now that support terrorism, and maybe that would help. I know it's ultimately a spiritual battle, but If it's a fact that we're supporting.
I want to ask David French about that, Bob, because I think it's a provocative question. David, the idea here that if you look at these state sponsors of terrorism, are we at a point or close to a point where the U.S. would actually meet that criteria because of our support for some of these, like the Palestinian Unity Government, which includes Hamas, and even some of the other countries that we have done work with? I mean, I think the most direct would be that example.
Well, we're giving $500 million a year to a government that now includes Hamas. I mean, those are the facts. And they said we judge Hamas by its actions, and they're firing rockets. So, it's easy for listeners to make that judgment.
You know, folks, I mean, just think about that. Think about that fact. Folks, we are going to continue to talk about this issue. My dad is coming up on the broadcast with a live update as well on the situation. Israel, call now. Stand with Israel, 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
Around the globe, especially in the Middle East, the persecution of Christians continues to grow at an alarming rate. With each day, there are new reports of Christians being murdered, even crucified, by radical Islamic terrorists simply because of their Christian faith. At the ACLJ, we're engaged in this vital issue, working to free American pastor Saeed Abedini, imprisoned nearly 2 years in Iran because of his Christian faith. And in the Sudan, Miriam Ibrahim and her American family, her husband and two young kids, prohibited from leaving that country to return to the United States. We must do all we can to bring an end to this global persecution of Christians, especially in the Middle East. That's why we're launching a new campaign, calling on the Obama administration to take all diplomatic efforts to protect Christians from this wave of persecutions. Add your name now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is David French from Franklin. In just a moment, we're going to hear from Jay, who is in Oxford, England, defending Israel with an ACLJ team, engaging scholars and leaders from around the globe to defend Israel's right to exist and to defend Israel's right to self-defense. But before we get to Jay, I just want to give you progress on our petition. Our petition to stand with Middle East Christians has had an unbelievable response. More than 50,000 signatures in less than 24 hours. If you want to stand with Middle Eastern Christians, go to 877-989-2255 or aclj.org, 877-989-2255 or aclj.org. And now we're going to turn to Jay, who, as I said, is in Oxford, England. Jay, what is the situation there in England?
Well, the interesting thing this morning, David, was that we were in an event this morning here at Oxford, and I'm actually talking to you from talking a little bit lower because I'm actually on campus at one of the Oxford colleges right now. But we had colleagues from around the globe, including Lebanon, and we were discussing the current situation and difficulties here in the Middle East and the region. And the clear consensus right now is that, without any question, this latest threat from ISIS, this Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, is gaining and garnering the most concern. Having said that, I mean, no one's belittling the fact that the region instability is significant. And we're talking to some of the Lebanese. The fact is that Christian persecution has been unbelievable, including, as we reported yesterday, the crucifixion of a number of Christians, especially by this group, ISIS. So the crucifixion issue has become significant because everybody is convinced here, and this is right, left, and center politically, that the message of the crucifixions is significant because it's not only an intimidation factor, but it's this idea that Christians, and for that matter, they're going after other Muslim groups that don't meet their standard of devotion. So I think the threat is really significant. And if you broaden out to the region of Israel itself, the Israelis are in a really difficult spot because you're surrounded by enemies to begin with. You've got reports that Hamas and even Hezbollah may be linking up with this ISIS group. So you've got this kind of super Sunni Muslim attack group that has gained both money. They've basically robbed banks and robbed oil wells and have billions of dollars at their disposal, as well as they're organized and they are acquiring landmass. Now, their landmass the last 2 days, last 24 hours, has not been what it was a week ago. But they're still on the march here. And I think the United States has to send a very, very clear, unmistakable, unapologetic message. But you know, the irony of this is, I mean, you've heard these conversations as they're going to be talked between, you know, the United States and Iran as it relates to this group ISIS. And David, you served in Iraq, so you could address this better than anyone else. But the fact of the matter is, the reason that's being discussed is because the concern over the Sunni-dominated ISIS group, this really radical group, so radical that they separated from al-Qaeda, that you're talking about these very bizarre alignments that may be taking place, which may or may not work out well. But the fact of the matter is, this is how serious the threat is right now.
Oh, it's unbelievably serious. It's essentially almost like a Sunni-Shia civil war within Islam taking place in the very heart of the Middle East, with both sides dominated by radicals. Is there concern right now, Jay, that the situation in Israel is going to be increasingly dangerous, particularly in the West Bank? Is there a concern that this tide of radicalism, extreme radicalism, is going to sweep into the West Bank?
Well, the concern is it's emboldening. It's a method of emboldening the terrorists that are already in the West Bank and makes their activities more extreme. The situation with Israel is very grave, and it's grave for two reasons. Number one, you've got jihadists, the Hamas and Hezbollah to the north, and Hamas to the Gaza, and even in the West Bank, that basically are emboldened by groups like ISIS. So you've got increased rocket activity going into Israel. They just can't simply take it. We're going to hear from the former ambassador from Israel to the United States, Danny Aylon, on the broadcast tomorrow. You heard from David Benjamin from our staff, who is our senior lawyer in our office in Israel. I mean, they're on high alert. I mean, I think you're looking at a powder keg. Let me tell you how serious it is, David. There were people within the discussion group today, as we are discussing the points back and forth, that consider this a potential, almost like a World War III situation, the way the alignments can go. Now, that may be a bit extreme, and I'm not so sure that they're that organized, but I think the nature of the threat to Israel is probably the gravest it's been, and they're in a very difficult spot because this is not just an attack toward Israel, but this is a Muslim versus Muslim, Muslim versus Jew, Muslim versus Christian. I mean, this is a religious war that you didn't want to see happen.
Oh, that's exactly right. I mean, if you just look at what's happened in Syria alone, you're talking civilian casualties on a scale that we haven't seen in the world in a very long time. And if that gets extended into Iraq and begins to spill over into places like Jordan, it spills over into Lebanon, spills over into Israel, I can understand why the people you're working with right now are seeing this as the gravest of threats. Is there a path forward right now?
Well, that's what we're dealing with this afternoon. I'm actually meeting with an expert from Iran, left Iran in 1979 during the revolution as an academic here at Oxford, but is one of the world's leading experts on how to deal with these regional conflicts. But David, I mean, the thing has changed so significantly. So you came into an event here in Oxford where you're expecting this kind of right, left, and center debate. And instead, and this is, and you know the whole Oxford system here, but instead, you have this right, left, and center agreement that what's going on right now is the most dangerous in our lifetime. So that's if you're a conservative, if you're a liberal, if you're in between, if you're pro-Palestinian, anti-Israel, wherever you might be. The instability in this region is so deep because of this group gaining so much traction. So the way forward is that we'll be working on that this week. But, I mean, this is a diplomatic, difficult situation, to say the least, politically not stable, in a region that where instability breeds hostility, which breeds conflict and ultimately death. And we're already seeing that.
Again, we're talking to Jay from Oxford, England. If you want to join our petition to stand with the Middle East Christians in this time of crisis, this incredible crisis that Jay has been describing, call 877-989-2255 or go to aclj.org. Again, that's 877-989-2255 or aclj.org. This is a time of crisis. It's time for the Obama administration and for Congress to exercise all its diplomatic abilities to defend and to stand with the Middle East persecuted Christians. So are people on the left of center, the people who are sort of the most anti-Israel, are even they seeing this declaration, the caliphate, as truly serious?
Yes, because I haven't run across anybody that I would say is, I mean, there's plenty of people that don't take a positive view of Israel, as you can imagine here. But I've not met anybody that's backing in any shape or any sense this ISIS group. In fact, to the contrary, people that I would say would have that don't believe, not maybe in Israel's right to exist, but in Israeli politics or policy or the way they've engaged their neighbors, they're saying those are secondary issues compared to the threat from ISIS. I need to underscore that with people listening to this broadcast, because I'm talking to people that are from the region, in the region, and academics worldwide. It is that serious, something we have not seen. I don't know what the play it's getting in the United States, but I will tell you, in Europe, it is the dominant news story on all of the media, is that this threat from ISIS, and it's almost in a sense unifying the civilized world. And maybe that's what happens, but that's when it starts looking like a world war problem. I'm not saying to the lethality of a world war, you know, III, God forbid that would ever happen, but this kind of problem, I think it's that serious.
Well, you know, it is not getting the attention it deserves here, in part because it's wrapped up in domestic politics. I mean, the tragic part of all of this is that the rise of ISIS was preventable. But at this point, there are not great options for the United States to deal with ISIS short of military force. And I'm just not sure the American people are ready to support that.
Well, I don't think that's going to be the answer to this either. I'm not convinced that military engagement is the way to do this. But a concerted effort with our allies in the region, and then some that may not normally be allies in the region, to put a stranglehold, so to speak, on this group. They've got a couple of billion dollars, but as you know, that doesn't last forever for these groups. And there's an X number of resources. I think we've got to look seriously, look hard, and bolster our allies in the region. That you mentioned Jordan. I mean, Jordan is subject to some real difficulties here. So we'll be getting into that. I'll be reporting on more of that tomorrow. But the threat is real. The problem is real. The solutions are not easy. But we're pressing forward globally on this issue right now.
Well, thank you, Jay. And that is the word from Jay in Oxford right now, where he and a legal team from ACLJ are directly engaged in defending Israel, engaging on the Middle East, putting the ACLJ voice into really the highest reaches of power in the highest channels of discussion on what to do in the Middle East. That is what the ACLJ is doing. This petition that we've had out has just had an incredible response. If you want to join that petition, go to aclj.org, 877-989-2255. That petition is very simple. Stand with Middle Eastern Christians who are under siege right now, from Pastor Saeed in Iran to Miriam Ibrahim to the Christians in Iraq who've lost two-thirds of their number, two-thirds. Stand with Israel, with the Middle East Christians, aclj.org, 877-989-2255.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top 2 in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
Around the globe, especially in the Middle East, the persecution of Christians continues to grow at an alarming rate. With each day, there are new reports of Christians being murdered, even crucified, by radical Islamic terrorists simply because of their Christian faith. At the ACLJ, we're engaged in this vital issue, working to free American pastor Saeed Abedini, imprisoned nearly 2 years in Iran because of his Christian faith. And in the Sudan, Miriam Ibrahim and her American family, her husband and two young kids, prohibited from leaving that country to return to the United States. We must do all we can to bring an end to this global persecution of Christians, especially in the Middle East. That's why we're launching a new campaign, calling on the Obama administration to take all diplomatic efforts to protect Christians from this wave of persecutions. Add your name now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. Listen, folks, you heard the update from Jay in the last segment of the broadcast, calling in live from Oxford. Folks, the situation in the Middle East and North Africa is very, very dire. Not only are this radical extremist group, you've probably heard of them referred to as ISIS, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. Now they're calling themselves simply the Islamic State or ISIL. Folks, they are on the move. They are capturing territory. And maybe the most dramatic and problematic of all is the persecution of religious minorities and specifically Christians. And this is not just happening at the hands of ISIS. This is happening across the Islamic world. It's happening in North Africa. And folks, there are horrific images online of these executions. Some of them are crucifixions, folks, things that you cannot even imagine are happening in the world today. The state of Christians in the Middle East, in the Islamic world, has never been more dire. That is why we're asking all of you to stand with the ACLJ in raising our voice on their behalf, standing with those fellow believers who are being persecuted around the world, and calling on this administration as well to make this a priority and to speak out with a clear voice and with strength against this persecution. If you want to stand with us, call now 877-989-2255 or sign online at ACLJ. org. I'm going to shift gears for just a moment here. I wanted to get you an update from Jordan. He was on with CBN talking about an update on the challenges to school prayer. Folks, obviously, you know this is central to the work of the ACLJ, the challenges to student-led prayer that have been around for decades now. We have been at the forefront of that legal challenge. Jordan had an opportunity to go on CBN and to give them an update on what those recent challenges have looked like, what the ACLJ role is, and where we go from here. Let's go ahead and roll it again. This is Jordan on CBN.
On 700 Club Interactive, we use technology to pray for each other and explore topics that matter to you. Watch what God is doing in the world today.
Well, good morning and welcome to 700 Club Interactive. The motto, "In God We Trust," is known by millions of Americans. It can be found on every dollar bill and coin, and it dates back to the Battle of 1812. As familiar as that phrase may be, students across America have been disciplined for sharing their faith at school. And here's Andrea Garrett with more.
Graduating seniors who want to pray or mention their faith during graduation exercises may face lawsuits or threats from school administrators because many of them wrongly believe that those expressions of faith violate the so-called separation of church and state. But Jordan Sekulow from the American Center for Law and Justice says students don't have to be afraid. The law is on their side.
A lot of school districts just get it wrong. They're so concerned about lawsuits or the threat of lawsuits. The school administrators or the school faculty and staff cannot start the prayer. They can't make you go to a prayer. They can't create a prayer event. They can't force that. But a student can absolutely use religious language in their speaking role.
So when high school valedictorian Roy Costner was told graduation prayers were being replaced with a moment of silence, Roy was well within his rights when he tore up his school-approved prepared speech and prayed the Lord's Prayer instead.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come.
A couple of years ago, a judge threatened to throw valedictorian Angela Hildebrand in jail for exercising her free speech rights.
The court's order said that there could be incarceration if anybody mentioned Jesus or said amen during the speeches.
A federal appeals court disagreed with that order.
And the Fifth Circuit said, no, it's okay for her to do that. It's her private student speech, and she's allowed to say whatever she wants, and you can't discriminate against her message just because it's religious.
And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
And while graduation prayer gets the attention this time of year, students face other kinds of religious discrimination all year long. And both they and their parents need to be aware of their rights. 12-year-old Giovanni Rubio was told by his teacher that he was not permitted to read the Bible during a free reading period at school. His teacher left this message on the Rubio's home voicemail.
I noticed that she has a book, a religious book, in the classroom. He's not permitted to read those books in my classroom.
Giovanni's parents consulted a lawyer, and the school is now complying with the law, which protects students who want to bring Bibles to school and read them during free time.
Students absolutely have the right to read their Bible at free reading sessions, and the courts have been very clear on that. You cannot ban students from bringing their Bibles. You can't stop them from reading their Bibles during free time.
So the bottom line for students is this. Regardless of the time of year, you don't have to leave your Christian faith or your free speech rights at the schoolhouse door. Andrea Garrett, CBN News.
Well, we've gotten a lot of questions on this topic, so let's go over to Jessica to find out more.
Well, Gordon, we have some questions coming in from our Facebook page. Lynn posts, I am a mom of three children who all attend public school. I don't want to raise them to fear school, but I'm concerned with some of the ungodly principles they are learning. What can I do?
Well, Lynn, the very first thing, and I encourage all parents to do this, is make sure you're the prime source for their knowledge of the Bible. That they know the gospel, they know the truth, they know that Jesus has said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If you do your job right, then regardless of what they're taught in school and which way they go, if you raise up a child in the ways of the Lord, the Bible promises that they won't stray from that. And if they ever do, they'll come back to it. So make sure you're doing your job and you won't have to worry about what's going on in school. Let's go back to Jessica for another question.
Gordon, Stacy says, I went to grad school so that I could become a high school principal in the public school system. I believe God wants me to be a light in a dark place. However, since I graduated, I've found it hard to get a job anywhere, and I think it's because I'm a Christian. Should I hide my faith so that I can get my foot in the door?
Stacy, I would never encourage you to hide your faith. There's direct scripture for that. You don't put a candle under a bushel. You don't deny him in front of men. If you do that, you're going to violate your own conscience. At the same time, you don't have to wear it on your sleeve. So ask God for where's the open door and use that. Use the Holy Spirit as your guide. He'll be that for you if you just ask him. And let the peace of God guard your heart and mind. That peace is the Greek word is, instead of guard, it should be really umpire. Let the peace call the balls and strikes, if you will. That peace lets you know where's the open door and where should I apply.
Folks, again, that was Jordan on CBN. We will, of course, keep you updated on that issue. But, folks, as we close the broadcast today, never has the threat to Israel been this extreme. And specifically, never has the threat to Christians in the Islamic world been as dramatic, been as serious as it is today. You know about Saeed Abedini and Yusuf Nadarkhani, a past case. You know about Miriam Ibrahim. Folks, they are just a handful of literally tens of thousands of Christians who are being persecuted and executed for their faith. If you want to stand up for them, speak out for their freedom, speak out for their religious freedom, being free from persecution. Call now 877 877- 989-2255 or sign online at aclj.org.
We must do all we can to bring an end to this global persecution of Christians, especially in the Middle East. That's why we're launching a new campaign, calling on the Obama administration to take all diplomatic efforts to protect Christians from this wave of persecutions. Add your name now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.